The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Hello, welcome to this week's Make It So Star Trek podcast from Simply Syndicated, episode number 12. This week, we're discussing something on a screen behind me, which really was a bad idea. an email from
Cody Knox.
Cody Knox from Portland, Oregon.
Who See, I knew he was. I knew he was American before you even said he was.
There aren't many people called Cody in the UK.
There aren't, and there are not many people called Cody Knox. In the UK.
We don't have that. But he suggested that we talk about drop storylines from the various series and movies.
Series.
Yes.
Is that the plural for series?
No, series.
Series is the plural for series.
Mm. One of those funny things.
One of those, like moose.
Yes.
Yes.
Not mooses.
No. Moose. Plural.
You want to say meese?
Yeah.
It just makes me want to say meese.
Yeah.
Look at all those meese.
Mm.
Sorry, tickled myself there. I'm Richard Smith.
And I'm Mike Dawson.
Oh.
So, did we say what we were doing or did we get interrupted?
Yes, we said that. Dropped storylines.
Dropped storylines.
Cody Knox. Suggested.
I
emailed him back and warned him.
See, we actually remembered to say his name this week, so it's good.
That's good. Well, yeah. That's because it's on the screen behind me.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to read these one at a time. So we'll just go through them. He suggested quite a few that we cover.
Okay.
The first one being the relationship between Scotty and Uhura. Clearly something going on at the beginning of Star Trek V.
Yes.
And never heard of again, obviously. Although, to be fair, the opportunity never really presented itself in Star Trek VI.
No, and that was it, really.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think we should read too much into it. Maybe there were a couple of old people. They're lonely. They're coming to retirement age, really. And
maybe Uhura just liked the big guys, you know.
Maybe she liked the big Scots guy.
Scotty just filled out a bit, and then suddenly she thought, you know what? I like the look of that big, fat Scottish guy. I really wouldn't mind doing some things to that big, fat guy.
And she likes the man in the kilt.
Likes the man in the kilt, likes the man who likes his pies.
That's it.
When he was skinny, wouldn't look at him twice.
So I don't think they had a relationship. I just think they were at it for a while.
Yeah.
That's what I got from it.
It was a bizarre one, though, because it did just come out of nowhere. And then
it did, because you sort of thought, Scotty, how did you get Uhura? Out of all of them.
Out of all of them.
It was never going to be you.
Mm.
You weren't even there all the time.
No.
You were downstairs.
Yeah, you were pissing around. Well, it's always the one downstairs, isn't it? It's always, you know, the girl you kind of fancy, and then she always ends up with that guy you think, do you actually know him? When did you meet? Did you even share a scene? I don't know. Obviously you did.
You'd never seen Scotty and Uhura really talk to each other. Or had you? Probably. I've not watched enough of the original series. Of course, they probably had a conversation.
Maybe they didn't. No, because as we said last week, the original series was far more segregated. And, you had...
No, they definitely talked to each other.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You had clusters of characters, though, didn't you?
No, this is one we're convincing ourselves of something stupid.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, because Scotty was on the bridge a couple of times in command, wasn't he? So
that was it. Once you've taken the three senior officers off the ship to a dangerous situation.
As you do.
You, of course, leave the chief engineer in command of the ship.
Yes.
That's who you'd need in a battle situation.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So yeah, you're in the middle of a battle and you have the chief engineer on the bridge. The engines get shot out, and who's going to repair the ship?
Exactly.
Fuck it. Just go down in smoke. Be fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, there's not really anything reason why that one wasn't carried on. I think that's, you know, that's that.
It's just a random blip.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Okay.
The next one, the glaring few there are in Nemesis.
Mm.
So we've got, as he says, first of all, Wesley in a Starfleet uniform.
Ah.
Now then. We're to assume, I think, now, first of all, his scene was cut, wasn't it?
Have you seen it?
I have it, yes, I've seen it.
You've seen it?
Yes.
Because they explain it.
Wesley got chubby.
Yes, Wesley did get chubby.
But he's back from traveling.
His traveling.
With the traveler. Clearly some time ago, because we're all over that. At this point, it's, you know, it's not wonderful to see him again. He's back for a while.
Yeah, a couple of years.
He's back in Starfleet,
because
they let you just come back once you disappear off.
Yeah, become a traveler.
That's it. He's going to Riker's wedding, because why wouldn't you?
Well, he was going to serve on Riker's ship as well.
Oh, was he? Of course.
It says at the end, yes, I'm looking forward to serving on the Titan. And then I got distracted by this pretty girl over there, and I'm going to look at her and walk over to that pretty girl over there, because Wesley is suddenly ladies.
Oh, yeah. He always was, though.
So how?
What's your name? He got Ashley Judd.
He did get Ashley Judd. That was one of the most...
Score.
Crimes against humanity.
Yeah, he got quite a few.
He put Will Wheaton up against Saddam Hussein on that one. That's ridiculous. There's no chance.
Terrible, Michael.
Terrible. Yeah.
So that's Wesley coming back. He just came back. But if in the original cut of the film, the theatrical cut, I think you get a glimpse of him in one shot.
Yeah, you do.
It's never explained. It's just the deleted scene that explains it.
More appropriately would be, why the fuck Worf is...
Why isn't Worf still an ambassador? I can't remember what... So that's Worf went off to be a Klingon ambassador at the end of...
DS9. Yeah.
He's back because... Well, it wouldn't be right without Worf.
Yeah.
And it's not explained because you don't care.
Well...
It's irrelevant. Come on,
How
much did they explain it in the last one? Because...
They at least tried... It got worse and worse. Yeah. It started with...
In First Contact, it was brilliant.
Worf was on the Defiant. Yeah, it made sense.
Beamed him off.
Yeah.
In Insurrection... We got the, why are you here, Mr. Moore? Well, Captain, it's a funny story. I was coming here the other day and, oh, hello there. Sorry, I'll have to talk to this person now. I'll explain it to you later off camera, Captain.
Yeah.
You bastards, that is no better than just not explaining it.
Mm.
And at this point, you don't need them to explain it because you're just happy Worf's back.
Yeah.
You don't care. You just don't want, you wouldn't want there to be a reason for him to not be there. So you're not going to look into it.
They only played with the dynamic, though, every now and then. I mean, it would be like, especially for Insurrection, effectively. I mean, it feels like he's never been gone.
Yeah.
In Insurrection, because you haven't seen the in-between time. But let's say we're actually taking real years. Well, it is. It's real years versus real years in Starfleet. So let's say in between Generations and First Contact, there's 3 years, isn't there?
Yes.
And then in between First Contact and Insurrection, there's about 2 years.
Yes.
And then between Nemesis and Insurrection, there's another 5 or 6 years.
They do run
like
it as if it happens in real time. Yeah.
So effectively, Worf's been off the ship for fucking ages. How the hell does he know how to use all the stuff, you know?
He's trained. They're all trained,
yeah.
Starfleet stuff.
Yeah.
A Starfleet photon torpedo firing control panel is very much like all the others.
Oh, you'd think, but then again, it's a different design of ship.
That's true. I don't know how it works.
If you got the captain of a ferry,
I bet you just have a button with fire written on it, and it's probably red.
Fire what?
Fire rocks. Torpedoes. No, yes, rocks.
Rocks.
I'm sure in times of stress, he stood there thinking, it says fire, but does it mean quantum torpedoes or rocks? Mm. Where are we? Who am I? I'm sure that happened.
It did happen a couple of times.
Why doesn't anyone bring up Law when discussing B4? Doesn't anyone bring up Law? Is he destroyed, disassembled? It's in. It's. Oh, what is it? Is it Descent?
Descent.
The one with all the bullets.
They disassemble him.
That's the last time we see him. They disassemble him.
Yeah.
What do they do with the bits?
Send it off to Starfleet Science Academy or whatever.
Right.
To prod at him and stuff, and
sort of like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Put in a box in a massive warehouse full of boxes.
Yeah. Special people.
Yeah.
Not special people, is it? What does he say? The Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's
safe or something like
it's,
that.
It's no, it's something people. Top men. That's it. Something top men. I can't remember. Never mind. Doesn't matter.
Never mind.
It's not even the right subject. We're off on one.
Making
okay.
me feel poorly. I don't know why nobody brings up law. Sorry.
No. Why doesn't anyone bring up law? Probably because, well, this is the problem with the films. In continuity in Star Trek is pretty
shaky at best,
lackadaisical at best, and you throw in the films where they're trying to open it up to a larger market. You throw in names like Law, and then all of a sudden, everyone in the audience who doesn't watch the series hasn't caught the two or three episodes that Law was in.
Yeah,
suddenly you're like, "Huh? Who's Law?
Did he need an explanation as to who Law is?"
And then that's 5 minutes of your film that you
and you probably couldn't adequately explain it and all sorts of stuff.
Like, well, yeah, someone comes in, a cadet comes in. Who's Law? Well, interesting you should ask that, cadet. Law is my
That's how it would happen
Yeah.
Someone would have to say, who's Law?
Yeah.
And we'd get the, oh, God.
Whereas everyone knows it's, who is Law?
Okay, we're going to move on to series now.
Okay. Was that it for the movies?
That was it. That's all he's got. And we're...
What about why Khan knows Chekhov?
We know why Khan knows Chekhov.
Well, how does Khan know Chekhov?
Because Khan knows Chekhov from when he was on the Enterprise before.
When Chekhov wasn't in the series.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's quite famous.
Why does Khan know Chekhov then?
I don't know. The thing is, they kind of argue around it based on the fact that he might have been on the ship. Chekhov might have been on the ship, and Khan's superhuman memory might have remembered Chekhov from walking around a corridor at some point. But that's it. He's not part of the. He wasn't part of the bridge crew. He wasn't part of. He wasn't a main character. He wasn't in Star Trek yet. He could have been on the Enterprise, but you hadn't seen him or talked to him.
That's true.
So how the hell does Khan know Chekhov?
Wow, I never thought of that. So glaringly obvious. Now you point it out.
Oh well.
First season of Next Gen Conspiracy.
Yeah,
the end of the episode, the worms send a message out into Deep Space Beacon thing.
There was something I read about this where, I can't remember where I read it, how I read it, what it was about, but the beacon could in theory have been sent so far away that it would have taken them beyond everyone on that ship's lifetime to get back. In which case, you'd kind of ask the question, what the fuck were they doing out that far away in the first place?
And what was the point of all of it, really?
Hmm.
I think it was just them trying to be ominous. They've done it a lot.
Yeah.
Even when you have, what is it, in Enterprise, in the Borg episode, they do the thing at the end where the Borg were able to send a message. And they track where it was, and it was somewhere like 400 years away.
Mm.
The idea being is that it would then come back, and that would relate to the Borg in Next Gen.
Yeah.
And it was stupid, because that's not what happens.
No. They get sent out. The Borg are made aware of their existence because of Q.
Yeah.
And then they start coming, and it takes them two years to get there. Yeah.
And even when you do the maths, it doesn't add up. So effectively what it means is that 200 years in the future of Next Generation, 200 years further on from the time of Next Generation, the Borg will get a message from Borg 400 years ago on Earth going, hello, we were on Earth, we're dead now.
Mm.
Whatever. Silly.
I think the argument was that they were sending... The ship, it kind of tied in together fairly neatly, actually, because the Delta Quadrant was where the Borg were, where Voyager was, which would take them 79 years to get to wherever it was, get back to Earth.
Mm.
And I think it was something stupid like the Borg ship that they intercepted in that the episode where Q flings them ahead was actually being sent already because of the transmission that had been sent in Archer's time.
Yes.
And was sort of halfway there when they met it. But again, that's ridiculous and doesn't make sense because Guinan's people had been wiped out by these people already, and Guinan knew where they were in space and yeah. knew that that was their territory. So
it's all silly.
Yeah.
Sixth season, iBorg, a big deal was made about individual Borgs in this episode, but the idea was apparently dropped by the time Descent came along. No, because they were individual Borgs.
It was after Descent that they dropped
Descent,
it.
In time for First Contact, because, well, it was far scarier.
Yeah.
Really, I think the Borg becoming individuals was one of those fantastical timeline things that people sort of want to see. But once you see it, you ruin it all.
Mm.
It's like...
Well, it didn't help the fact that they were a bunch of wet pansies as well. They weren't hard. They were all kind of like mincing around and thinking, oh, I've got thoughts of my own. What the fuck am I going to do?
There was that.
And they weren't, you know, if they'd like, suddenly I'm an individual, I'm rock hard, I could take over the galaxy, but we're going to have internal power disputes. Fair enough. You know, that might be a little bit interesting, but effectively all you've got is grey Klingons. So, you know, not very interesting, really.
No, not at all.
Even on that level. And then you go, I'm individual, but, you know, you had that with iBorg, which was a great episode, cracking episode, and the moral dilemma of whether or not to send it back with a message to destroy the rest of the Borg, or whether or not the sanctity of life will prevail. It was one of those great classic Picard moral dilemmas. And they executed it very well, but then Descent was a pile of shit. And then they chucked Lore into the mix just for good measure, didn't they?
That's where it fell apart, because it's like, what would happen if James Bond lost and died? And then you'd watch it and go, oh, and that'd be the end of it.
Yeah.
And that's crap, and that's why you don't do that. That's why James Bond always kills the bad guy, no matter what the odds are. And this was a similar moment. Oh, what if? And you shouldn't have done that because it ruins it then.
Mm.
So they had to go back on it, clearly, in order to get the Borg in. And made one of the best Star Trek films with it.
Yeah.
Definitely. One of the best baddies in anything ever, the Borg.
Yeah.
At the best.
Crazy Swedes.
Let's see.
Richard's reading, so I'm going to make some random computer noises while he does that. No, I'm not.
All good things. Worf and Troy are still a couple in this episode, but by generations, they're apparently no longer together. Was it good to just drop this relationship? Yes, probably. Left way for the Riker thing.
Yeah. The thing is, Worf never had a lot of luck with the ladies.
He never did.
Because they all ended up dead in one way or another. And with All Good Things, they still, you know, they did a bit of that with the whole Troy relationship. In the future, Troy was the only one who was dead, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I think Worf's one of those sort of, you know, those tragic characters who has to have ladies who die. You know, it kind of helps him get his edge back every now and then. You know, he gets a bit fat around the edge. He loses a bit, you know,
gets a bit
of muscle. You know, goes a bit soft. Right, let's kill Worf's girlfriend and make him hard again.
And then he's back.
You know, it's kind of one of those things. You can't keep, you know, you can't be that aggressive for absolutely ages. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like a Klingon thing or something like that. I've got to fall in love and have her butchered by my enemy so I have a reason to kill him in the most hideous, horrible way.
Can't be too happy.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
I think that's it. I think that's the reason why.
Yeah, but Troy was a bit... Well, they didn't make sense as a couple, really, did they? He's a belligerent fuckhead with a forehead like a rock, and she's an annoying empath with a voice that doesn't really make sense. And
hang on, though. By the time of Generations, had Worf not gone to Deep Space Nine?
No. No, he was still on the ship.
Right.
He went to Deep Space Nine.
When did he go to DS9?
In the beginning of season 4.
Right.
So there's another year after.
Oh, right then.
The end of All Good. There's another year between All Good Things and Way of the Warrior.
I see.
Yeah.
I need these timelines written down in diagram form.
Season 6, start of Season 6 of Next Gen.
Yeah.
You have the start of DS9. So Season 6 ends, Season 1 ends. Season 2 starts on DS9 with Season 7 concurrently. Season 7 ends and Season 2 ends of DS9. Then you have a year gap where DS9 ran for Season 3.
And
we had Generations and we had Voyager Series 1.
Right.
Then Worf joined in Series 4. So yeah, there's a year between the end
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Actually, yeah, skipped over the Bashir episode of episodes of Next Gen last night, in fact.
No, right.
To go to the, Tapestry.
Tapestry.
I love that episode.
Which one's Tapestry?
The Picard stab through the heart.
Oh, the Q one.
Q is God.
Yes, that's one of the ones I need to watch again.
Brilliant episode. Definitely one of my favourite ones.
Right.
What else? I've skipped over the Ro Laren ones and the Maquis because I found that so boring.
DS9.
They
never brought her back. I think the Ro Laren story was pretty much closed.
That's it.
The only irritating thing is Ro appeared in Series 5, was it? Season 5 of Next Gen for pretty much... Quite a lot. She's in a fair few episodes in that season.
They did a good job of making a sort of semi-regular cast member.
Yeah. Guinan was in Series 3. Guinan was another one who disappeared. She was in...
I don't know. She's throughout... I'm only up to Season 6 at the moment. I'm approaching the end of it, actually.
I think she begins to fall off the bandwagon in Series 6. She's not in it very much in Series 6. She's not in it at all in Series 7.
No, after Time's Arrow, she's been pretty sparse.
And Ro was only in a couple of episodes in Season 6 and I think one episode in Season 7. And at some point in between her last episode in Season 6 and the one episode she was in Season 7, she's gone off to Starfleet Security Headquarters and become a secret agent.
Yes.
To work within the Maquis, who are clearly causing a lot of trouble, even though they're a band of small rebels.
And a small band of rebels.
Band of small rebels.
More comical.
More comical. They've got instruments.
Band of small rebels.
Can they land the plane? No, they don't have any instruments.
Small rebels.
Small rebels.
Little guys.
Little rebels. Little midgets.
Around.
Little
like
midgets
Willow.
With instruments. Like Willow.
Like Willow.
Does he have a trombone?
Yes.
Yes.
That's a band of small rebels. Willow with a trombone attacking people. That's it. That's what you created in my mind. Hope everybody's imagining that now.
Yes, I hope they are as well.
Another guy with a bass drum on his back and
a small band of rebels. A band of small rebels.
Another guy with a mouth organ.
I'll remember that particular semantic.
Yeah, all that
dichotomy. Brilliant. Right.
Scroll down. Jake Sisko. Where was he?
Well. Yes, where was Jake? Jake disappeared because he was shit. They kind of made him into a journalist, and then he had one wicked episode in Season 5 where he was on a planet with Bashir, and he's a bit of a coward in it, and he doesn't go into the firing line, basically. And then that was it. That was like our last one with Jake, really. Up until... Well, he had a small one in Season 6 where he got taken over by one of the pirates.
Yeah.
And that was fairly interesting. And then he was gone again through Season 7 until the very end when he turned up and said, oh, shit, my dad's gone. What am I doing? And that was about it.
Mm. I felt he was such a shit character they couldn't even be asked to write a reason for him to not be in there.
Well,
with Wesley Crusher, they gave him a reason to leave.
Apparently, he was off doing journalist things in the fleet in the war, apparently, but we never saw any of that, which is fair enough. But apparently, Kirk Lofton was, I think that's how you pronounce his name, I have no idea.
I don't know.
Was apparently a bit of a randy fucker. And
the actor,
well, think about it. You're a young man growing up on a TV show, going through pubescence and
puberty,
that's the one. And you're surrounded by the likes of Chase Masterson and Terry Farrell and a whole barrage of hot women looking to be big actresses in Hollywood.
Yeah,
and apparently he came on to just about all of them.
Really?
Yeah. So terrible. I'm thinking that maybe beyond his character being a little shit,
maybe that was something
to do with it. Wanted to keep him off set, you know. because he was kind of humping Kira's leg at some point.
You know, on that, on those grounds, I always felt sorry for the guy who played David Hasselhoff's son in Baywatch.
Yeah.
Who played that character something like from the age of 10 to 18. And I'm thinking what your body goes through between the ages of 10 and 18.
Mm.
And to be on the set of Baywatch.
Mm.
Dear God.
Mm.
Dear God.
Horrible.
You know, some teenagers just jerk off over to Pamela, jerk off over Pamela Anderson in a magazine. You know her. There she is.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And she probably touches you and thinks you're really cute.
Yeah. Oh, God.
God. Oh, God.
Not that I've ever really liked Pamela Anderson.
No.
Still the rest of them, though.
Yeah.
Yasmin Bleeth.
Yeah.
They're running.
They're running.
Yeah. Such look, fucking
look,
nerds.
Look at them run.
Look at them run. Look at they're them pretty. Okay. Sections 31. Could, well, sorry, we're on Deep Space Nine, I should have said now.
I think they've realised.
Yeah, obviously. We could we have had more story regarding Section 31?
Well, see, that's not I a dropped storyline. That it was
just,
yeah,
we just didn't have any more of it.
That I was, I think, that ran its course, and I think what it could have done, it could have, because the problem again with Star Trek, you get this now and then, is the fact that Section 31 kind of popped up for its episode.
Yeah,
it had like three episodes in, I think, the whole of DS9, and it kind of like popped up, and it had an episode, and then a couple of, like, it would have another one. And that would be it. Whereas, and occasionally it would be referenced in other episodes surrounding it. I think there was, like, because obviously they created the virus which was infecting the changelings. Yeah. And, you know, when Bashir works this out, he's mentioning it and he's forming his plan about how he's going to get the cure and everything a couple of episodes in advance. But what would have been nicer, I suppose, was if you'd had Section 31 cropping up fairly regularly, but just under the surface, and not necessarily, you know, like, oh, that's probably them that's done that, and oh, that's them that's done that again. Whereas they didn't, they only had like, they had their little Section 31 episode every now and then, didn't they?
I think you could have done a gritty spin-off drama of Section 31.
Mm.
Something, you know, just call it Section 31.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
X-Files-y based Star Trek.
Yeah.
That might be interesting, something to think about there.
Could have done.
Oh, they've confirmed the script of the new movie.
Yes.
And it's going to be Kirk and Spock.
Mm-hmm.
As young men. I didn't know they knew each other as young men.
They didn't.
But they do now.
When so Spock was a young man, Kirk wasn't even born.
Yes.
Ah, God, why the hell did I just not
I
have,
don't know.
Why?
It's
why?
The bastard that gave us Lost.
Why?
And then he got Lost.
Yeah.
I
thought he gave us Mission Impossible 3, and you quite liked that, didn't you?
I enjoyed it while I was watching it, but let's just say it's out on DVD and I don't own it.
Good point.
Okay. Voyager, first season, Parallax, the pilot sets up an interesting conflict between Starfleet and Maquis crews. By the end of this, the second episode, the conflict had been done away with. Why did both TNG and DS9 set up the Maquis specifically for Voyager if Voyager wasn't going to use it? I don't think it set it up for Voyager. I think Voyager just used it.
Maybe.
I think that was really...
It did come at that time, though. I think it was... Because it was season 2 of DS9 and season 7 of Next Gen.
Yes.
Which was right before Voyager started. I think it was...
I think it was just what was in their mind at the moment, and it was appropriate to the region in space they were. They wanted to get in a previous series, Deep Space Nine, ideally.
Yeah.
So it had to be something that happened around there.
Yeah.
I think that was it was just a convenient thing, not particularly planned ahead for or anything like that.
I think it would have been far more interesting if Voyager had been boarded by Jem'Hadar and changelings before it had been shipped off to the other side of the galaxy, and then you'd have had a real conflict going on.
That would have been incredible.
Yeah.
They would have killed Janeway.
Well, yeah, but you found a way around it. But, I mean, you know, that would have been interesting if half the crew had been Jem'Hadar and Founders.
Yeah.
And, like, there were maybe two or three shapeshifters in there. That would have been far better.
I like that
Maquis
idea.
On there. Maquis are a bunch of pussies. They're not really... No, there's no real conflict. Ultimately, all they want is a bit of freedom. Oh, shit. These guys want some freedom. Fuck. We've got a real conflict with these guys on the Federation. It's not really that big a deal. Whereas if they actually put people who were completely didactically opposed to them, it would have been a lot more interesting. And I probably would have watched more Voyager.
Yeah. After the show, we'll go back in time and remake Voyager.
Let's do that. Okay, well, I've got a device ready to slingshot us around the sun. Or do you want to create a temporal vortex this time?
I'm up for slingshotting again.
Okay.
It's good. I like the head cloudy thing.
Yeah, I like the head cloudy thing.
It's a nice effect that comes along with it, so I'd rather we did that.
Star Trek 4 was on TV the other day, and they edited out Kirk saying bullshit.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was on at that scene, and I made everyone wait for a couple of minutes, because I was just like, do you want to hear Captain Kirk say bullshit? And of course, it's on ITV, so they cut it.
He's not going to say bullshit.
No, he didn't. He said no stuff like that. Quite a good dub, though, because it was pretty seamless.
Wow.
No, ma'am, no stuff like that. No bullshit like that, is what it said.
See, you've just mentioned it again, and I want to see it again.
Yeah.
I want to see Star Trek 4 again. It's not fair.
No, it's not fair.
It's one of the worst ones, yeah. But clearly it's not. It's the most entertaining
one. It's the most entertaining one. It's just a big advert for Greenpeace, though, at the end of the day. Mm. Next.
Okay. Voyager, 75 light years from home. Should this have had more of an impact on the crew and the difficulty of their survival?
Well, first of all, my uniform would have been off on day two. One of the things that I thought they could have done with this was the fact that they're all still in their Starfleet uniforms. Who are they impressing? You know,
it's a matter of maintaining discipline.
That's the bullshit they came up with. I think it would have been far more interesting if they'd all gone a little bit cash.
Gone cash,
you know, leather jackets and stuff. I mean, that was what was cool with Star Trek 3 when they steal the Enterprise. None of them are in their uniforms.
No, they go cash.
Apart from Scotty, because Scotty was on the
Excelsior. He never got off the ship.
But that's it. The rest of them are all cash.
That's just because in those days they couldn't give commands to the computer like they do in First Contact.
Mm.
You know, when they get back to Earth from the future and they're beaming down and they're getting into the turbo lift, and as they're getting in to go to the planet, Picard just yells, "Computer, 21st century Earth clothing." And he goes, beep, beep, and the turbo lift. And you're like, what? What has that command achieved?
Yeah.
Are you going to emerge from the turbo lift on the other end dressed in 21st century Earth clothing? What? Is it, you know, like Batman did when he slid down the pole and he was Batman when he came out? That's not going to happen.
No.
Is it knows where you're going and there's going to be some neatly pressed folded.
Oh, that, no, there. That would be awesome if it like beamed the clothes onto you.
Yeah, when you beam down to the planet, when you materialize at the other end, will you be dressed differently? You could do that.
You go to
and
a party.
Why stop there? Why not get the transporter to do your hair as well?
I like the fact that this is mid-21st century clothing as well. Yeah, okay, if I'm going down to the planet Earth right now and I want early 21st century clothing and I'm beaming down to, say, I don't know, the middle of India.
Yeah.
I might look a little bit out of place dressed as this.
He didn't specify too much.
Region or, you know.
Just one of those things. We assume it's put in there for us to think, yes, he'll want appropriate clothing, and that's why we're going to explain how we explain that he's dressed appropriately.
But mid-21st century, that command, North American clothing.
Yeah, that command that he gave to the computer at that point was meaningless and does not fit into how a computer would ever work in a million years. Although I'm quite taken by the whole turning, being transported in a new set of clothes with your hair done. You could actually just get out of bed, walk into the transporter and arrive at work dressed, washed, hairbrushed,
teeth washed.
Just have it not transport the dirt.
One to beam to work, please, and a blowjob while you're at it.
I see you took it a step further there.
Why not?
And because it would be a machine simulating giving you a blowjob. Now, I think you can already get machines that do that.
You can.
And I'm not compelled to work them into my morning routine as it is.
Well,
that's not to say there is an option. I wouldn't use it. I'd have to make that decision while faced with it. But it would also depend on how much time it put onto your morning transporter commute.
It would. But then if you had a really good computer, they'd know how to hit the spot straight away.
That's very true. But again, that disturbs me on another level as well, which I don't feel warrants much explanation. It's just weird. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let's move on to a different topic.
Okay.
Kez dropped like a mouldy potato, good or bad thing. Good thing, good I thing. Hated her. Some people think she's the most gorgeous thing ever.
I don't think she's the most gorgeous thing ever. I do think she's fairly attractive.
I didn't mean you, but some people do think she's amazing.
Yeah.
And I,
is that Tristan?
No, I'm not mentioning anybody specific that we know.
Right.
I've had emails of doing the show. We've had emails.
We've had emails about how Kez is gorgeous.
One guy sent me a picture of her. Like, cheers. I'm very grateful.
Is that in case you forgot what she looked
like? Yeah, I've seen her. Mm. She's on the telly. And no, she's still rancid. Yeah. Don't fancy her at all. Sorry. I hated her, so good thing. And then she came back for that episode where she was fucking nuts and really old.
I had never seen that one.
It's quite good.
Is it?
They bump it. She comes back to Voyager to kill them all.
Why?
I can't remember.
Right.
One reason or another.
Does she go around?
She's like super powerful mental.
Does Neelix finally get his underwear with her or?
I don't know. Did he never get to shag her?
Well, she was four, man. They could never really...
Yeah, but she was a grown-up.
Yeah, but she was
they
four.
They only lived to five.
Yeah, but she was... Yeah.
She wasn't a four-year-old child, little girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Still, I feel a little wrong about it.
I don't know.
If you met an alien that was 4 years old and looked like a grown woman, you'd still think to yourself, you're four.
I think once we move on to the interspecies thing... It becomes more about maturity than physical age.
Yeah, I suppose.
To some degree, you know. This is weird.
Dodgy territory. The Home Office would have a field day
with
this one.
You'd have to take it on a case-by-case, species-by-species.
You'd get planets like Thailand, man. You'd get like, you know...
Come shag the children of the universe.
Well, basically, yeah, where it's a load of people who look like children but actually are adults and loads all the... Pedophiles would go over there.
I wonder if you'd get people, you know how you have... Oh, never mind. I'm not even going to get into this. I'm not. Fourth season of Voyager, traveling through Borg space. Shouldn't this have been more difficult, or would Voyager have been better off with less reliance on the Borg? Should have been more difficult. It should have been blown up and stopped it earlier.
Mm.
No, that's a little harsh. I don't know. It was fine.
Just it. Problem with Voyager, you know, I wanted them to be fucked up.
They had some brilliant episodes towards the end where they were fucked up.
I wanted them to always. But did that just not happen, though? The Year of Hell?
It did, but it didn't. Like, sort of thing. It happened, but I think it was reset in time at the end.
Yeah, some bullshit like that, wasn't it? Because loads of them die, don't they?
Yeah.
You see, I remember seeing that and I remember thinking. This is what it should have been like. You should have done the Year of Hell over 24 episodes.
Yes.
And called that season the Year of Hell and killed off most of your main cast.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been...
Mind you, it would have been more annoying when it came back to not happen at the end.
No, it wouldn't happen. It would have been the actual...
Oh, it would have... You just wanted a lot of them to die.
I just wanted a lot of them to die over a season which was specifically titled the Year of Hell.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. I see. I'll go with that. So Enterprise, Broken Bow, this set of a major comp... It's Bow.
Bow.
It's Bow.
Bow.
No.
Bow.
I've got another email from people explaining that it's Bow.
Bow.
Bow. No.
Bow.
You're just making that noise to irritate me now. You know it's Bow.
Bow.
I'll get the episode and play it to you. Actually, I threw them all away.
Yeah, you did.
I feel bad about that now.
Why?
I want to watch them.
No, you don't.
I want to see it one more time. I want to hear the song.
No, you don't.
I do. I love that song.
You hate that song.
I might get it for my iPod.
I think you should.
Then I can drive along singing it.
Which version? The Bossa Nova one?
Both.
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 Oh, gosh.
It's going to be good. Broken Bow, major conflict with the Klingons that was never moved forward. That's the problem with Enterprise. Yeah. That right there. That's what it should have been.
Mm.
Knobheads. Why didn't they do that? Really, that's all I have to say about that.
Mm.
I don't know. If you can figure out the answer to that question, you know how to make a good new series of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Really? The Andorian incident, interesting conflict between Andorians and Vulcans, so adequately addressed in the later episodes. It could have been done more, but we really didn't want to start a massive interstellar incident, I think, because that could have added to warping the political timeline of things and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
You know, not made a lot of sense. Whatever it was had to be sorted out by the original series timeline anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't think they wanted to touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
Never stopped them before.
I know, but I think they did it slightly better. In a Mirror Darkly. Oh, God, I forgot they did a Mirror Universe one.
Oh, God, it was awful. Oh, it had Naughty Hoshi in it.
Did it have Naughty Hoshi?
It had Naughty Hoshi.
Oh, I remember Naughty Hoshi.
You remember Naughty Hoshi.
Was that series 4?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try and find that from somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not paying 80 quid a series for it on DVD.
No.
I don't
80
know.
Quid a series, man.
I'll look it up in a
80
bit,
quid.
It's a lot of money.
God, you feel like those DVD box sets, the people who actually did part 70, 80 quid for a series, imagine how knocked off they must be now that they're on sale for 15 quid.
Yeah. Fools. I had to wait many years, but now at least I've got all six and I've got them for...
pretty much the same amount of money that you'd have spent for one.
One, yeah.
Mm.
I'm pleased with that. If anybody out there knows when the DS9 Slimline box sets are coming out, please let me know.
Mm.
I've tried searching for information on the internet and I can't find it. I'm a bit worried that they're not going to come. I'm just disappointed.
No, they
I'm
will.
Just worried after my home improvement thingy, finding out that there'll be no more new ones at all. So,
would you have wanted like all 18 series?
I wanted
series?
All 8 series of home. I've got the first 3.
Yeah.
I'm screwed now. I've got to get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But region 1. Shitters.
Yeah.
What else? Temple Cold War ends in a whimper. Yes, it does.
Yes.
It's pathetic. There's not a lot to say about it.
That was a bit shit. That was a bit shit. I didn't like that at all. I wanted the Temple Cold War to be better. But the problem was, as I think we've said in previous episodes, the writers weren't smart enough to do that story the justice that it deserved. I mean, a big sci-fi writer like, I don't know, I don't read much sci-fi, but a big sci-fi writer like maybe Ian M. Banks would have been able to pull something like that off.
Right.
Star Trek couldn't really pull it off.
No.
Because of the nature of the show and the nature of the character range, they wouldn't have ever been able to properly do it. Because effectively, as soon as you start fucking with it, then someone's out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, well.
This guy Archer's causing us a bit of bother. All right, let's go back and kill his great grandfather then.
That's it.
Problem
it
sorted.
Silly thing to start.
Yeah.
Silly thing to start. And finally, Shran could have been made a main character on the Enterprise Bridge. What do you think about that? I think it would have made the program good.
Yeah.
I think that could have been a saving grace of it.
Could have been.
Shran was a fucking awesome character.
He's the best thing in that show.
I actually think he had good chemistry with Captain Archer and brought out better character traits.
I think that
Captain
actually just goes to show what a good actor that chap is. What's his name? Jeffrey Coombs.
Yawning.
The fact that he managed to have chemistry
Sam
Scott
Beckett.
Scott Bakula. Yeah.
Sam Beckett.
Tree Chunk.
Yeah.
Plank of Wood.
Yeah. So
it's good going.
Good going. Mm. So yeah, I think that we've run out of things now. We've been going for 3/4 of an hour.
Okay, well, people get bored of this thing.
People get bored of this. So that was the loose ends and other questions. I like that.
Yeah, I like
being
that.
Sent things to talk about and questions and what do you think of that. That's good.
Yeah.
If you want to send us anything else, anyone, that send it to make it so.
And hopefully we'll remember your name. And
well,
credit
if we
you.
Get it in an email, we'll be fine. Make it so at simplysyndicated.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you want... we're on Dig, go and Diggers. Also,
you vote for us on Podcast Alley.
Yes,
you can listen to some of our other shows, such as Weekend Watchers.
Weekend Watchers, we've just done a new one of new movies you should see.
Leon this week.
It's Cracker, yeah. And another bollocks show is out. If you just go and listen to Simply Here, that audio podcast,
all of them are on there.
They're all on there.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
Smashing.
And we'll be back next week with something else.
Yeah. We'll have to work that out now, aren't we?
Yeah.